and welcome to the 142nd edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And this is Ashton.
Wow, that was a rusty start there. Obviously, Ashton is here. We kind of discussed what we were going to do, and that kind of fell apart. This is the first podcast of the 2015 season, and we obviously are joined by Ashton. And there's several different things we can start out with. We've got some interviews we're going to cover. We're going to talk about the schedule. Obviously, there's going to be plenty of stuff to cover in the weeks to come. But Ashton's here with us, and after really two great years of Beyond the Green, things have changed a little bit. So I'm going to go ahead and have Ashton kind of explain what's going on. Ashton, where do we stand with the show?
Well, like I said in the post on the message board, the show is not coming back in its original form. Still a little bit of up in the airness of what is going to happen with their own show. They're going to be doing something's going to happen in house. I don't know when that's going to happen, when that's going to start. Everybody can draw their conclusions from, you know, why the show isn't coming back. I guess there's no animosity with myself in the department at all, not one bit. Everything's basically changing on my. Nothing's changing on my end, sorry. I still have the access. I can still kind of go in there and do what I want in terms of video content or just any content for that matter. And that kind of parlays into this next venture that that I'm going to go down that I kind of teased a little bit on the message board. Harry and myself are going to kind of partner up. And if anybody has a half a brain, then kind of put together what that would be. And it's basically... we don't have everything finalized yet, but the one thing, way to describe it, I guess the easiest way to describe it would be, imagine Beyond the Green on the web, on the internet. Basically combine GoMeanGreen.com and combine Beyond the Green, and that's kind of the idea that we're toying with right now. Again, nothing's finalized. I still have all my contacts over there. I still can go in there and get the footage and get the access that I had before. It's just a matter of the medium that it's going to go on. And it's not going to be on Fox Sports Southwest anymore. I don't know if there is a show that's going to take the place of that for North Texas. That's a question for the athletic department. But right now, that's kind of the route that we're headed.
So basically, now they've got interns doing it, and we might see an episode sometime in the fall is what you're saying.
Maybe so. Anytime anybody goes in-house, there's always going to be some hiccups. I think they have good direction. I do know that. And there's a template now, and it's not unheard of for schools to do this kind of stuff in house.
Right. I mean, and we've seen that, and we've discussed this many times before, that the changing media coverage in college football, it used to have every newspaper had a bunch of people covering different sports, and now they've taken that away, more freelance. But then a lot of the schools, especially in the mid-level, or schools like North Texas, are having to create their own, media. But the problem is everything's puppy dogs and rainbows. Everything is beautiful. It's all about unicorns. All great. And then, especially when you do preseason stuff, you can't be really critical of your own team. And then when you run into the season, there's a dose of reality that hits hard. So it's always tough to produce an unbiased report in-house. Now, last year, you when you were doing Beyond the Green, you did a pretty balanced show. You talked to ups and downs. You had low points and high points, and you did a lot of stuff on the players that maybe they wouldn't have thought to do because it may have been too risky if the school was paying for it.
Yeah, that definitely comes into play a lot. I think, there's always that fine line you don't want to cross and start pissing people off. You don't want to sit there and start saying that, this guy played terrible, so let's do a segment about how bad he was. That was never going to happen with that kind of show, and it's never going to happen with those kind of shows because it's still coming from the athletic department. But what I always loved and what I always kind of championed them with doing is they kind of stayed out of the way. They always did that. They always kind of let me run with what I wanted to do. And frankly, you're not going to do a show, a good one, in my opinion, if about doom and gloom. You have to find the things that are good about any football program. They could be 0 and whatever, and you still have to figure out some way to produce content every week without just it. Hey, we lost again. Hey, we lost again. Hey, we, you know, and this is why we lost. That gets old after a while. And then when it's when you start doing profiles or off the field stuff.
Right. And speaking of Owen, whatever. So last year was a tougher season for us. And so you didn't get that huge push that you got the previous year, obviously, with the bowl game. I mean, everybody was on a high and hoping that was going to translate to this past season. And it just didn't work out that way. So I think a lot of people are really wanting to know what to expect this year. And, you know, the Beyond the Green, how it fits and how it fit in last year. And I can see where it could be an interesting new avenue for you. Or how much are we going to see you this year?
You'll see me all the time. I mean, I'm ideally, you know, again, it's still kind of the infant stages of everything. But without doing a television show that's, you know, that's 23 minutes of content every week for every show, basically, the internet and doing something on the web like a webcast or a web forum, it basically gives me more latitude. You know, I can do 10 3-minute segments. And frankly, you don't always need an 8-minute segment. You know, if you go back and look at some acts of you know, the show was broken up into four acts and they were always different topics. The game would sometimes span over two segments. So you really had 13, 14 minutes on one game. You know, if the game is really crappy, which tends to happen occasionally, you can wrap that up in 3 minutes and just kind of get in, get out, show what happened in the locker room, show how the team rose from adversity or faltered, whatever, get out and then do another segment on something else. It almost gives you... There's almost a lot more latitude. There's not almost. There is a lot more latitude with doing something that isn't confined to a television show that's 23 minutes of content once a week. My goal with this new venture would be able to produce multiple segments throughout the week. Some be on the reporting side of things, maybe newsy, kind of like ESPN-style stuff where you're getting interviews with players post-practice. Get that up the next day. You can kind of see what's going down there. And then all the stuff from before is going to still continue, you know, player profiles, all that kind of stuff, off the field stuff. I want that to continue. It just might be in a little bit different form, but at the same time, give me more latitude, really.
All right. So with this move and kind of off the official athletic department plate, do you feel like the access will still be there? Obviously, you know, the website has always had this strange relationships. And it's got to be a strange relationship with any university because you're going to have people that are critical. The athletic department is not going to like that. Harry walks a continuous line, and this has been the situation for years because I know all about it. I mean, if most people knew some of the things that got posted by drunken players or stories and stuff that were removed, just because we're trying to make this thing successful as far as the university. But sometimes they still, even with all that, see this outside as kind of a competitor, an enemy, whatever you want to call it. But the athletic department's still going to give you the access that you had last year.
So far, that's the agreement. That's the talk. I mean, you know, everything could change down the road. I don't anticipate anything changing. Right now, imagine Beyond the Green continuing on the web. And that's basically it. I mean, that's the simplistic way of describing it. There obviously will be some differences, but ideally and realistically, I don't see much changing. I've built the relationships with the coaches. Me going out there with a camera and getting interviews and getting footage and going to meetings and stuff like that, I don't see that changing because that's already been established. It's been happening for 2 years. And there were a lot of times last year when I was out there that it just felt like second nature. And I think to them it was also second nature. And the fact that I don't think they hate me. I'm pretty sure I have decent relationships
up
there.
That's the difference between you and Harry. No.
It's mean.
Well, no, and that's really good because, I mean, honestly, RV, Eric, there's a lot of people up there that really realize that this can be a great relationship. And I see that obviously what they're doing with you. And let's just hope it continues.
Yeah.
One of the questions I have is August practices. In the fence or out the fence?
It should be in the fence. Okay. I mean, that's the again, nothing would idea. Okay. Nothing's supposed to change.
I just
supposedly,
had to ask.
No.
I'm writing that down because I know
ask,
some
but supposedly,
people.
Supposedly, you know, nothing. I mean, again, this I is had all to still. Ask, yeah. Yes.
If you guys will let me jump in on the Evan and Ashton show for a second, real quick.
Go ahead. Like
anyway,
one word. That's okay. No. You got to keep in mind. We are all three sitting here, huge fans,
exactly,
alums, bleed green. there's no one that, wants this program to be more successful than the three guys sitting in here. And so I think Ashton and I had an opportunity to sit down with the athletic department. This isn't just something we drummed up one night and threw out on the web. I mean, this has been something that we've been talking about for a while. And the response I think we got was incredibly positive. And I think that they understand that there's only so much that the athletic department can do. And frankly, you want to have as much coverage out there as you possibly can. And I think
we're quality content.
That's
a big piece.
And not just the standard stuff that everybody else does. And I think that's what's got us excited about this partnership is that, you know, coming together and with Ashton's obviously got an award-winning television program that has gotten rave reviews. And I think as a North Texas fan, and you would agree with me, Evan, you know, watching that show made me feel proud. You know, to be, I felt like this was first class and this is the way we want to represent ourselves. And I think you'll see the same thing with this new venture.
First class in content, first class the way it looked, how it was produced. And you've got to think that that was, for a lot of fans, that was something that brought them back. And for recruits looking at the university, that was a huge tool to for them as far as visibility and seeing what they're getting into. And I think a lot of schools didn't have that. So you kind of want to see what's going to happen in the future on the athletic department side. But, you know, carrying it on, what you're planning to do, I think is still going to benefit the fans and the university in the future. So if anybody else, anything else to say on that? Because, obviously there's been a lot of talk on the board about it.
Yeah, and, you know, and we'll be able to, you know, enlighten everybody as we get everything kind of finalized and working on the site idea, how it's going to work. You know, we've just basically scratched the surface of what we're going to try to provide. You know, we want to expand this as much as we possibly can. And, you know, one thing we want to tackle, no pun intended, is recruiting. There was a pun intended. Thanks, Evan. You know, we want to focus on recruiting. I mean, let's face it. Recruiting is huge. Recruiting is a big deal. And everybody seems to really kind of geek out over it. It doesn't matter who you are, casual fan, diehard fan. If you have any invested interest in the team, you're following North Texas news in January and February. And if you're a diehard, you're following recruiting stuff now in July, in May, in the spring. We're talking about 16 commitments now, and we're still in 15. So it gets kind of to the point where it's a huge hotbed of information that, frankly, North Texas doesn't have. So, you know, we're not promising too much in that department now. We want to get to the point where we can really bring another avenue of recruiting, you know, bring another avenue of exposure and more voices. It's never going to hurt to have another voice of covering a program. And, you know, with Beyond the Green, that's what that voice was. But there was some limitations within a show. There were certain things I couldn't do, certain things I can do. And really, once a week on Thursday at 4:30, this has the ability to be more than that. And that's kind of where we're looking at. I mean, if you look at GoMeanGreen.com and you look at Beyond the Green, you know, it doesn't take rocket science to see how the two can coexist on one platform. And that's basically what we're going to be doing, you know, hopefully, and we can expand on that, you know, as we get all the details kind of finalized.
And just to touch on recruiting, and I agree, it's huge, and there's a huge opportunity there on the recruiting side of things. You know, we've got a community at GoMeanGreen.com that's developed over a long time. Billy C. Is sort of our recruiting guy. He follows it very closely. I don't think there's anyone, you know, out there that's staying on top of it to the level that he is. But what we would talk about doing with what he does is add another layer on top of that and even make it better in terms of the amount of information and things that we can do. And really, honestly, a good recruiting coverage is only going to enhance the recruiting for your school. It's been proven time and time again. So we're really, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, the key thing on recruiting is access. You've got to be able to get the information and get it out there. Everything's got to be above board, obviously, but there's a lot of things that are out there on recruits and guys that North Texas is targeting that we'd like to get to the fans, the ones that are really interested to know who the next star is going to be down the road.
All right. So going along right with that, you've got two interviews you brought with you today, Ashton. And I guess you've interviewed Coach Perry and Coach Patrick.
Yeah. I talked to both coaches yesterday. This is kind of a small little preview of what I'd like to or what I plan to do during the season. And this would be one facet of this site that Harry and I are talking about doing and the project that we're talking about doing. This is, you know, again, this is just one avenue, but this is just an audio interview.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and tee that up, and then we'll discuss it afterwards and kind of cover some of the things that they talk about and pause here and there. So we'll start with Coach. Who do you want to start with on this?
Let's start with Coach Perry because okay. Coach Patrick kind of piggybacks on something that Perry said and elaborates on it.
Okay.
Well.
Well, we're going to go ahead and start with Coach Perry then. Hold on 1 second. Let's get that going.
Okay, I'm here with Coach Tommy Perry. Coach, let's first start with talk about a few new guys that are exciting you right now as you're going into camp.
Yeah, hey Ashton. It's the time of year where everybody's optimistic, right? We're all undefeated and we're all excited about the guys that we have. But there are some new faces, whether they be new to our team or just guys that didn't play last year that we're holding back and holding back for a good reason, but. Specifically just in my room, I think Jeffrey Wilson has addressed a lot of his concern, my concern as well, about holding on to the football. He's a dynamic guy along with Willie Ivory. Once he's on the field, he's gonna be very, very difficult to bring down. I've been really, really impressed with their spring, really impressed with their work ethic in the summer. Those guys just, they don't lose. I mean, they're competitive. When they get the pads on, they're physical. And, you know, those two guys in particular, just in my room, I'm excited about. Offensively, I think our wide receiver core has gotten drastically better. There's more skill. You know, the two young guys from Carthage, Tigo Ree and O'Kieran, they're real matchup problems. They're both extremely productive in the spring. I hope they continue that this fall, and we're going to look a little different without giving away too much. We're going to be different, you know, offensively because of the skill guys that we have. From a special teams perspective, we've got maybe not new guys.
All right, Harry.
Well, I think, you know, the thing I heard there that gets me excited is from the skill position standpoint, you know, you keep hearing the Carthage guys. And I think that the Carthage guys at wide receiver could be a huge improvement over what we've seen at that position. If you guys.
Yeah, I think that I loved hearing that from Perry. I think that was something that I was kind of hoping he would get into a little bit without, you know, making him divulge any new information about the offense, you know. I loved how he brought up that we were going to look a little bit differently, and that's what I think the fans kind of want to hear right now. We have skill guys. We have athleticism. Let's go ahead and utilize that. And these two guys, O'Kieran Rutherford and Tigo Ree, I mean, the expectations are pretty high right now for both of them. I think T's got a higher ceiling, but O'Kieran is just a matchup nightmare. I mean,
he goes about, what, 6'5"?
He looks like he's 7 feet tall, but yeah. I mean, he does. I think he's listed as 6'5". And Gorey's wiry, you know. Gorey's built just like Darnell Smith. But something that I loved, you know, hearing from him, and then kind of formulating in my head is that these guys have higher ceilings than Darnell did. And so if you go back to 2013, when we had a good possession receiver that could move the chain, sometimes catch 8 or 9 balls a game, and then maybe even break a tackle or two and get downfield, something that sometimes Carlos can't do because he's small and he gets hit and he's down. Tigo Ree and O'Kieran are going to be able to potentially do that. And then you've got Wilson in the backfield. There's another guy with a higher ceiling. I mean, I love Brandon Byrd, but I think Wilson has a much higher ceiling in terms of he's a prototypical, he's a D1 back. Not that Brandon wasn't, but this is a guy that's built where he could in 5 years look like an Adrian Peterson type build on this guy. He's built well. He's got high knees, all that stuff.
And not to get off onto the quarterback, I mean, we'll save that for another debate, but, you know, with all the concerns about the quarterback position going into this season, I think these skill positions improving can really have an impact on the quarterback play as well. I mean, if he's got more tools and more resources out there at his, you know, that he can utilize, then that could make him a lot better as a quarterback. So
Let's get back to the interview, and I think Tommy's about to go into special teams, and let's get back to that real fast.
But we've got finally we've got, you know, some long-term experience there with them. You know, we got a, you know, All-American candidate at the kicker position. We've got you know, arguably one of the best punters in the conference coming back. We've got finally some experience in the snapper position. And we had a lot of young guys. I mean, people don't realize this because it's, you know, the third side of the ball, but we had a lot of young guys playing on special teams last year. We brought in a new returner. He has not won the job yet, certainly, but just doing some work without a football, but coverage work and skill work.
Just FYI, that return guy he's talking about, Ashton, is
Trey Johnson.
Okay, there was Travion Johnson,
something like that. Yeah. I think let's just call him Trey Johnson. I believe he goes about 5'3", 5'4". I mean, he's small. I think he's 150. You know, he's light. He's light in the rear, but Tommy is really excited about him, and you know, I think he's about to get into this. But one of the things that I could tell why Tommy liked him so much is because he brought up some footage from the past couple of practices where they're just working without football. They're working with, like, I think they're doing tennis ball and like coverage drills. So he's catching it and running. But Trey made one of our better defenders look really bad on a juke move, and he kind of froze him and he buckled. And Trey went right around and was untouched when they're just supposed to tag him and get out of
it. And this is a walk on, so that's interesting.
Hmm. All right.
A couple days ago, Trey has been extremely impressive. And there's going to be a real competition there for returner. And whether he plays or not, he's certainly going to make everybody else around him a lot better. So I think maybe our best pro prospect right now, you know, before the season starts, Marcus Smith is a huge matchup problem. He's a big guy, soft hands, talented, competitive. And we're going to have some new offensive linemen, which is something, you know, we haven't had to filter through the first – you know, my first few years here, had a lot of experience there. And, you know, now we're going to have some new guys. So there's going to be some competition there. But I think our new look on offense is going to support the fact that we can highlight maybe some of our skill guys. And our offensive linemen hopefully can continue to shine. But I think a lot of the focus is going to be some of these new young skill players.
And that right there as well, you know, that kind of excites me because you can hear Tommy keep harping on the word our skill players, our skill players, our skill players. I don't think we had that as much in the past, and definitely not last year. You know, we didn't have a Breland Chancellor. We didn't have somebody that can just go out there and get the ball in his hands and let him go and do some work. I think that Tommy, you know, he brings it up three or four times, and which means that there's some truth to that. There's some proof out there that there's somebody out there that's impressing him. And, you know, regardless who the quarterback is, if we've got guys – you know, like, you know, T and Ocaron, Jeffrey, and then Marcus Smith. Marcus is another matchup nightmare. You know, I mean, he's a guy that he lumbers down the field. He's a big-bodied dude. He can really create problems in the middle of the field, especially if a linebacker's covering him.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think Marcus Smith, the shame is we haven't gotten him the ball as much as he needs to get it. And hopefully this season that'll change.
Well, and there's a real – There was some chemistry building between Marcus and Andrew McNulty last season. You know, if Mackey is the quarterback, you know, week one, people need to be at least happy the fact that, you know, he's not the biggest fan favorite, but people need to be happy in the fact that they have a relationship, and all they've been doing is probably working out together in the offseason because they both work hard. They're both leaders. They both have big voices. They want to win. You know, there's some guys that weren't at voluntary workouts, and those guys were at the front of the pack, and that's only going to help the cause. If Mackey has a great relationship with Marcus Smith, then give him the ball and let him go to town.
How is the recruiting landscape in the short time that you've been here and have been a part of it? How has the landscape changed?
Well, you know, in my areas, which is East Texas, which is my home, and then San Antonio, I would say the reception has been much better, much improved just in my short time here, especially by the high school coaches. You know, there is some name recognition now, particularly in the area of East Texas, my home, where I'm from. There's become a little bit more comfort, you know, just because the same guy has been coming back. And I know some of those guys. Some of those guys coached against me. Some of those guys coached me. You know, through my grandfather and myself and all, there was a lot of name recognition and ability to build relationships. I think San Antonio, too, where I just kind of started picking them up about a year ago, I think that's been really good, too. Just people, especially, you know, the bowl game from a few years ago and all the national exposure we got last year with all the TV deal. We're organized in what we're doing recruiting. We work hard. I mean, you know, in the metro areas, you know, seeing 6, 7, 8 schools a day, you know, in some of the more rural areas, getting out to some of the smaller schools, that stuff over time pays dividends. Maybe not immediately, but over time, you know, you start finding the kids at Elkhart, Texas, you know, where Jeffrey's from, or multiple guys in Carthage, and Carthage has quietly become a powerhouse out that way. But also some of the schools in San Antonio, which, you know, we haven't signed a whole lot of guys, but like I said, Marcus Smith, he's from that north side of San Antonio. You start throwing his name around there and how well he's done, all of a sudden that opens up a lot of doors for you. So the thing with recruiting is it's a cumulative deal. I think doors are now starting to open because of that cumulative response. When I first got here, Noah Joseph and now Mike Grant, through an organization, has kind of helped increase our visibility and communication, embracing, you know, technology and those things. And I think those things are starting to pay off. You never know until signing day, but hopefully over the course of time, those things do pay off with wins ultimately on the field.
What are your thoughts, whatever you can say, about, you know, the new project that I've kind of run by you and what I'm looking at trying to do now in terms of just trying to get a little bit more exposure for the program and just get information out there?
Well, just like recruiting, I think all exposures, any and all exposure is good. We feel a very close relationship with particularly a more interested and rabid fans. Most of them are former students. A lot of them are current students. So really, any way and all way within the rules that we can get information to those fans, information that doesn't hurt us but can inform our fan base, those people that are interested, I don't see how that could be a negative. I mean, that's a positive. It helps me out on the road. It helps the North Texas brand. And if it can excite our fans, encourage our fans, bringing friends, involving their dad or you know, their brother or one of their people they graduated with from the university, says, hey, you know, hey, watch this clip or listen to this or pay attention to this. As many of those things as we can do, I think particularly at a school like North Texas, we need to try to do those things. I mean, this is the, correct me if I'm wrong, Ash, 24th largest public university in the country. I mean, this is the third largest university in the state with, you know, major, huge universities here. Why shouldn't there be more interest? Why shouldn't there be more fan support? You know, and sometimes it's just, you know, a lack of knowledge and a lack of access, you know, to our program. So any way we can get our name out, any way that we can involve particularly our loyal and supportive fans, I'm all for, within the rules.
Awesome. All right, thanks, Coach. I appreciate the time.
Sure, Ashton, yeah.
Okay.
So that was fun. Now, that's that, you know, there's a lot of things that Perry said that I really, as a fan, really liked to hear from the coach. And one of the things that he said that I kind of stuck with me a little bit was the being more well received to high school, to different high school coaches and different high school players, than he was 2 years ago when he was first recruiting out there. Obviously, it's before the Heart of Dallas Bowl win, and you know, let's not just keep riding that wave.
He said name recognition quite a bit. You know, everybody's more familiar. Nobody knows what's going on up here. That, we got a lot of mileage out of that bowl game.
Yeah, and I think it's necessary. But one thing that he said that I want the fans to kind of keep in mind, and I tried to talk about this a little bit last year, I think on a couple podcasts and early in the show, the first couple episodes of the show last season, is that doesn't change overnight. the bowl win wasn't going to change recruiting overnight. It wasn't. It's going to take a year or two to really get that moving. And I really didn't think we were going to see any of the benefits of the bowl win in terms of attendance, exposure, any of that stuff until really 2015 or 16, you know, a year or two after the bowl win. Unfortunately, we had a down year last year following the bowl win, and I don't think that did us any favors. But I really think that the bowl win is still fresh in everybody's mind. So, you know, we might not be as dead as people think we are in terms of popularity.
And the same thing with Apogee Stadium, because Evan and I, you know, I think people felt like if we build Apogee Stadium, it's just going to immediately, our attendance is going to go through the roof. And that's not what the case was. You know, it's gotten better, but I still think the goal is to sell it out. So I think you're right. And I like what he said about a cumulative effect. I mean, it's a lot of different things that can impact recruiting, not necessarily just a stadium or a new conference, but you start putting that whole thing together and it starts taking effect as time goes by.
All right, so let's go ahead and switch over to Coach Patrick, or as you everybody else knows him, KP.
KP, yeah.
So there'll be a lot of references to KP, and it's Coach Patrick. So for those of you listening to the first podcast, in the future you'll know more than others. So let's go ahead and get that one rolling.
This is a much quicker interview. This is just a couple questions, but I kind of followed up with KP after I talked to Tommy Perry.
The landscape of recruiting for the University of North Texas has gradually changed over the years since Mac's been here. As you see this year, we are getting not only the players that we want, but also with the players that people around the country want. And I think that was demonstrated with a lot of the top quality prospects that we got, who had opportunities in what were considered Power 5 and BCS conferences. So, but more importantly is the fact that we were recruiting our type of player, the North Texas type of player, the North Texas brand, the people who we want to be a part of this program, they're going to make this place special. And in the process, it sometimes takes time, but it's moving faster and faster every day.
In particular, the defensive line, what kind of players do you target when you're going out?
I look at it, you know, from a player's perspective, you know, I'm getting older every day, I think, but I'm still a young cat, but I look at guys who I'd want to play next to, or, you know, play across, you know, play on the other side from. You know, as you know, there's two types of people in this world, as I say, and we say there's the OUs and the OOTs. I'm recruiting the one of us, the guys who are one of us, not the one of them. You're either one of us or you're one of them. And I'm trying to find guys that represent not only what Coach Mack is all about, what I'm all about, a tough brand of football. It's not built up in stars, it's built up in and the type of style of person that the young man is, the type of man he's going to become, and the type of brand of football that he plays.
So, yeah, I mean, right there, KP kind of piggybacks a little bit on what Perry said in terms of just getting more, you know, he was talking about BCS, so getting more recognition. Their name recognition is a little bit different and a little bit higher than it was previously. And again, I think that's because mainly it took a little while for, you know, these guys to still make a name for themselves. You know, Perry was out there recruiting, but he was still only 1 year on the job, even though we just won a bowl game. So, you know, now he makes relationships, and then the next year, again, we're battling that. We were 8-4 or 4-8, 8-4. We were 4-8 last season. It's a different, you know, it's a different mindset that he has to get into the people's heads and kind of let them forget about that and bring up the bowl. But at the same time, we're still just trying to make, you know, make the people more interested in the program.
So we're carrying over, obviously. We're still getting some recruiting guys out of the bowl game. He's talking about that. That just seems to be a theme a lot of people have brought up. You know, you talked about T. Gorey earlier. And, you know, last year, a lot of people were shocked to see him sitting out. And, you know, and obviously after the season we had last year, I mean, it's kind of like we're very happy where we are now. And that last year, most people weren't so happy. They wanted to see what he can do. How many other guys do we have that we didn't see much out of last year? We're going to see more of this year.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, there's you know, some defensive linemen that redshirted last year. You know, there's, one thing I'll give Matt credit for is that he doesn't just throw everybody out there. He thinks about the future and you know, tries to be strategic about that. You know, I think the crazy thing about this year is no matter how disappointing last season was, even if you're in a negative frame of mind as a fan, you ought to clean the slate, because this is really a totally different team. If you look at it from player to player, with all the junior college transfers, with all the transfers, with all the red shirts that are coming available this year, it is. I mean, would you agree with that, Ashton? I mean, it's a totally different team.
I would absolutely agree with that, and I would even go as far as to say is that, so 2013 was a senior laden veteran team. Even the guys that weren't seniors were veterans. Derek Acuna was a junior veteran. You know, these guys were vets. In 2000, so we were a little bit older, longer in the tooth, I guess, that season. 2014, we were young and inexperienced because we replaced, 17 starters on offense, and we basically every position except for one linebacker and offensive line. You know, everybody was – there was just constant changes. And I think that – so last year we were a little bit – we were very young and inexperienced. This year I think we're young with some experience, and I think that's what it's going to be. I think we've got some talented guys that didn't get to play as much. You know, the names that jump out at me that we're going to see this year that we didn't get to see that much of last year or at all are, you know, Willie Ivory, Jeffrey Wilson obviously didn't get that many touches until towards the end. He got a lot more. Willie Ivory, Sam Rice transfer, Blake Bean, he's a guy that's going to help out. Keyshawn McClain is going to grow a little bit more. Cedric Fernandez had the best spring out of the entire team, for what I'm told. So that's a guy that we can, you know, walk on, I believe. We can really, you know, again, I'm not saying these guys are going to go out there and be all conference, but there's some optimism that I think that we should have. I mean, like Perry said, we're all undefeated right now. It's the off season. It's happy times. But at the same time, I think there's a lot more dark clouds that kind of are hovering the team right now from a fan base, just because of we were 4-8 last year and the quarterback competition again, all that stuff. But I think there should be some optimism right now, because we do have some athletes and we do have some guys that got valuable experience last year. If it was just sitting on the sidelines or maybe playing 10, 15 snaps, they still got the valuable experience to go out there this year with.
A lot of positions, a lot of things people are still wondering about. Obviously, every year we talk about quarterbacks. Obviously, until people show up, until we start seeing some play in fall here, I mean, in August, we're not going to know anything right now. It's still early. We got to get these guys showing up, seeing more. Obviously, there's summer workouts, but until we start seeing them form on the team, which will start August 10th.
August 10th is the first day of camp.
Our first game is not until September 12th, which is kind of, I feel weird. Like it's like halfway through September and we start playing. And that's why everything seems to be running later this year. But, you know, we're not going to get into too many of those positions right now. Quarterback controversy, all that kind of thing, because right now it's just still too early to tell. So we'll definitely go into that. We also still have to talk about the schedule. I know there's a lot of stuff we can review and kind of dissect on how that schedule is going to play out. Does it play into our favor or not this year? Opening at SMU, everybody knows that. We are like 44 days. It's 44 days till the first game. That's a long time, man. I thought it was right around the corner, but that's still a ways off.
44 days is the actual number?
44 days, 1 hour, 34 minutes, and 55 seconds.
That's very precise of you to tell me all that information.
Well, it's changing. So now we're at 47. Okay, anyway.
That seems really far away from considering camp is literally 11 days away.
Well, that's the thing. But usually camp starts around the 1st of August because our first game is the 1st of September. Now we're, I don't know, for some reason we're waiting for Halloween for the first game, and it's just throwing me off. But and it's at SMU. I mean, we don't play our first home game until the Rice game on the 19th of September. That's a ways away. Of course, the good thing is maybe it'll be a little cooler. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, we kind of hope for
probably
that,
not
that wacky cold front to come in and it's getting nice. You just never know how that's going to work out. So we're going to be doing these for those of you listening. Are we going to do this every Wednesday until the season starts? Probably not. We will run out of things to talk about. But we will be hitting them more often as Ashton gets more information and some good interviews and more content that he's been so good at getting in the previous years. We'll definitely, you know, come back and present what we have and talk about it. And as things pop up on the board, well, we're going to do some different things this year, change it up, and we'll definitely get the 2015 season going. So anything else to comment, guys?
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of questions about what Harry and I are doing and what Beyond the Green is going to – that we don't know if that's the name. I'm hoping to continue with the name Beyond the Green. So we don't know what Beyond the Green redo, we'll call it, is going to be right now exactly. And I think there's going to be a lot of questions. If anybody has any questions, comments, whatever, I mean, obviously feel free to post them or send them to Harry and I directly. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to have any problem with posting anything
No, don't send them.
The voices are pretty. But
don't send your questions to the athletic department.
Yeah, don't send them to
Harry or Ashton directly.
But I'm curious to hear what people think about, you know, the road that we're going down. Again, we didn't really dive into too much about the meat of it. There's going to be some things that kind of
trickle out.
Yeah, that come out as we finalize everything, and we'll be sure to post it.
And people will probably have ideas and suggestions and what they want to see.
I want that.
I would love to hear, you know, the route that we're going with this thing is still a little bit, not up in the air, but it's still got to get tweaked and everything got to be finalized and, you know, everything like that. But the main thing I want to just, you know, let everybody know is that, you know, if you have some ideas or anything like that, things you want to see and hear and whatever, you know, feel free to let us know. It will be fan oriented to an extent. You know, we're going to want to hear feedback, and I think we're going to hear the feedback regardless. And if anything, Harry has anything.
I think it needs to have a Beyond the Green logo on the Mean Green website, and it needs gold in it. And blue.
Gold.
Yes, because you know how much some of those guys like new colors in the logos. Nice.
I hadn't thought of that one, Evan.
Yeah, that's, you know, that went over real well back in Hurley days. So
no gold at all, but I will echo what Ashton said. I'm excited about it. We still have some things we've got to work out, but I think it could be really neat. And I think, you know, starting this 2 days, we're going to really try to be on top of this stuff like, you know, you haven't seen out there. And provide a different viewpoint. I think it's always going to have a more of a positive spin on it because we're fans. We want to see the program succeed, but we also want to be honest, and we want to give you that inside information. We want to show you what's going on over there, and I think you said it well, Ashton. I mean, the alumni, the students, we want to be able to provide them with some premium content, you know, some stuff that you just can't get that's out there today. And that's the goal at this point. Hadn't quite gotten that to that point, but that's the direction that we're heading, and we're real excited about it.
All right. With that, we will wrap up the 142nd edition, and we'll be back with you soon. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.